Welcome to FinTech's DEI Discussions podcast series. This is the Humans of FinTech chapter, and we are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for change across the entire financial technology industry. Today, we are joined by JB, the founder of Cryotech. He is here to share how he walks the talk for inclusion in our sector, and more importantly, what more he wants done. JB, it's great to have you on this podcast episode with me.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. Tell us a little bit more about your role and Cryotech, please.
Okay, so my role, I'm the founder and CEO of Cryotech. I created the world's first post-quantum encrypted messenger, Vox Messenger. I will clear up the buzzwords immediately. What does post-quantum mean? It's a beautiful marketing buzzword that basically means because we're using lattice-based cryptography, our technology is going to take a couple of generations of quantum supercomputer to be able to break because of its huge mathematical complexity. Whereas the current standard is elliptic curve, which is all very basic. We created the world's first post-quantum messenger, Vox Messenger. Think of it as WhatsApp and Signal on crack, incredibly secure, no ads, so no excuses for extracting your data of any kind. We have over 80,000 users in over 100 countries already. We haven't done any marketing up to this point because I built it as kind of me, myself, and I set out to change the face of cryptographic messaging.
You were able to found the business. I'd love for you just to share with people a little bit more, like, how did you do this? And actually, what is the impact of this? Because this is super impactful for the whole industry.
With what makes Vox Messenger particularly different from everything else is that because our business model is not based in any shape or form on ads revenue generation, it means we can be very authentic about making sure your data is safe and controlled by you. Now, we actually offer the ability for people to contact us, and we can demonstrate where when you select incinerate, which is one of the options in our system where you can delete a message from both the sender and receiver handsets, you can actually see it get ripped out of our database instantaneously at the same time. Other companies don't do that because even though you've deleted the message, that message still has value to them for ads revenue generation. And now for people who don't know how that works, the way it works is by looking at certain keywords and then using those keywords to target very specific either commercial or, what we're seeing more increasingly, direct political messaging at you across all of your social media platforms. Now, if we actually look at our technology, if you understand how encryption works, there's a few things that tell you that WhatsApp and other app platforms are not quite as encrypted as they make out. For example, if you can edit a message, it's incredibly likely it is not properly end-to-end encrypted, and definitely not in a way that is protecting your private keys. Additionally, if you're seeing things like when you look in your phone gallery and that content that you've shared between you and your friends is showing a valid preview image in your gallery would also indicate that it's not actually encrypted on your device even, which is what you'll see. Of course, it makes your life easier seeing these previews. But again, if you're using a piece of software with a high expectation of true security and true privacy in your communications, you need to be aware of what that looks like in your day-to-day life and what these indicators are. We also regularly audit and go for audit. We're also building a new version. And we're also incorporating Vox Crypto directly into Vox Messenger. Now, Vox Crypto is our other app where we have basically found a way of saving people lots of money in doing bulk transfers in the crypto space. Because as anyone knows, if you've been doing anything in Ethereum or any other, a lot of the blockchains, the gas or transactional fee gets higher and higher the more transactions you do. So we've created a smart contract where if you're, say, sending $50 to 500 people or whatever, you're not going to pay 50 times 500 gas fees. You pay one gas fee, which works out less than 30% of the totality of what you would normally pay. And we have that. We have partnerships with Transact and WalletGuard and other industry partners. We're integrating that into Vox Messenger because the holy grail of self-sovereignty really is decentralized messaging and decentralized finance. And when you converge these two components together, you have something that gives you a level of freedom and control over how you communicate, who you communicate with, and what you spend and do and actually control your finances with in a very simple and easy to manage way. And that's what we're striving for. There's a reason why the slogans for Vox Crypto is I am the bank, and the slogan for Vox Messenger is I am the messenger. You, the user, are empowered with our platforms. Also, because I am a CEO who is socially conscious, I am also determined to make sure that my companies do not operate the same way as everybody else.
super, super relevant. And I love how you've brought it all together, because the work that you're doing is about empowering the user. It's about control. You mentioned safety. You're bringing in so many considerations that many others have overlooked. And this societal impact, I just wanted to pull on that thread a bit more, because this is, after all, FinTech's DEI discussion. So I definitely want to hear more of you from this. But when we look at such rapid technological advancements, what do you see as the societal impact on that? What do we need to be considering? How do we ensure that people are safe?
We've got to stop the cult worship of personality CEOs. It is toxic. It is, if you, without naming names, we have lots of the different groups of people following certain CEOs and personalities who are all male and all fit as the same socioeconomic group, largely the same racial group as well, funnily enough. They all build and run their companies and their products in a way that is counterintuitive to not perpetrating human suffering. I'll give you an example. Let's just look at computer vision. One of the things that is having the biggest societal impact is artificial intelligence and its rapid expansion into every facet of our lives. Computer vision, which is the science of how computers interpret the world that we see around us and take us for granted, how do machines interpret that? How does a machine understand it? And it understands it through something called computer vision. Computer vision involves data sets. Now, unfortunately, most of the computer vision systems, which are responsible for facial recognition, cars recognizing whether or not to stop in front of people, all of these systems are predominantly trained on just four data sets. And these four data sets, even when combined, have something like less than 1-2% ethnic diversity across them. So this basically means AI, even though it's actually not trained to be racist, ends up becoming racially biased negatively. Now, the societal impact of this is huge. And what I'm hoping with my software and my approach to business is that I'm hoping other people will see that it is possible to make money and do business ethically and with everybody, be it the Western world or the BRICS world, in a manner that works actually quite collaboratively and innovatively, in a way that will lead to sustainable universal basic income. But that's a whole other thing that I'm working on as well.
I really enjoy listening to how you tie this all together, because we live in a world where often this is separated, you know, technology advancements, business, societal impact, financial inclusion, ethics, safety. It's almost like, you know, let's split them up. And actually what you do and in your mission is it's bringing all of this together and actually looking at how each of these things are being separated and being pulled apart by different beings out there. And I wanted to ask you, you know, your perspective as a Black technologist and as a CEO, you know, you look, especially in this world of crypto, blockchain, digital assets, financial services, you know, you have a perspective and a point of view that I would love to hear more of when it comes to the need for diversity in the industry.
The need for diversity in the industry. This one is a little bit of a double-edged sword, because with the, again, it is, yes, we do need more diversity in the industry, but what is actually, what diversity of what exactly? I would actually say maybe we need more diversity of thought, more diversity of cultures, more diversity of inputs. Imagine that everything is working like a multimodal artificial neural network. And an artificial neural network is literally nothing more than a digital representation of the human brain. Different individual components, aka neurons, or in our case, individual humans, all communicating and feeding their essences and creativity and differences of opinion into making something a bigger whole that has a benefit for us all. This has benefit for us. What doesn't have benefit for us, though, is doing what we see is being promoted a lot in companies, which is, people call it diversity hiring. I don't call it diversity hiring. I just call it straight up racial hiring. Just call it what it is. It's racial hiring. And unfortunately, racial hiring is being mistaken for diversity hiring. It's just like how everybody says, we need equality. We need equality. No, we don't need. No, most of the people screaming, they want equality. So my focus is building products, services, and running my company in a way that takes for account that we are all different people. For example, if we have a person working for us who has different abilities or is, you know, disabled in some way, are we going to be forcing them to come into the office? No, we're actually going to build an office in their place where they feel the most comfortable. Because how do you get the best out of people? By doing that. It's not altruism, by the way. This is, for me, this is just Pure common sense. If you look after your workers, become good consumers. If you have happy workers, they spend more, the economy blossoms. Wow, what a crazy concept. If you look after your consumers and give them a product that actually delivers true utility and value, they'll consume that product all day long and all of your other products too. You don't need to lie to them. You don't need to manipulate them. You don't need to steal their data to get them to shift their political inclination and then claim that you run your company being politically unbiased and then deplatform a group of people just after you visited another group of people. If we're meant to be technology CEOs and we claim to be here for humanity, then we have to be thinking about all components of humanity, not just cherry picking. That's not how it works. It's parity.
Thank you for joining us on FinTech's DEI discussions. And to everyone listening, let's listen, let's learn, let's walk the talk.